Welcome to another fantastic episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com. And okay, let me see some hands. Virtual hands will do. Who wants a raspberry pie? Well, you're in luck, ladies and gentlemen, because I've got a raspberry pie to give away to one lucky listener this week. All you have to do is head on over to element14.com/fishfry to enter. And speaking of raspberry pie, I've got a very special guest this week, the co-creator of the raspberry pie, Gert Van Loo. This week, Gert and I are chatting about how the raspberry pie board was created, how Gert built upon the raspberry pie to create the Gert board, and how he's teaching the world to sing. No, wait. Program IOs. That's right. My guest today is Gert Van Loo, co-creator of the Raspberry Pi. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for joining me today, Gert.
You're welcome.
First off, tell me a little bit about the history of the Raspberry Pi. How were you involved and how did it get started?
I work with Evan in the same company, and Evan was talking to me all the time about he had this idea about a small board computer, and the chip we just developed would be excellently for that, and he was very enthusiastic, so without telling him, I started working from 7 till 4, and at 4 o'clock I put my normal work aside and started working on the board. And after a couple of probably 2 weeks, I invited Evan saying, there's your board, which he said, what? Yes, you wanted to have a board? There's your board. And then we start setting together and just start cutting it down and thinking and developing the details out of it.
Wow, that's great. So you've gone on to do an accessory called the Gert board. Tell me more about that.
While the Raspberry Pi was moving from its prototypes to the production type, which was done by somebody in the Raspberry Pi organization, the target of the Raspberry Pi organization was education. And I always thought that education of computers is very nice for all the big screens, but the real place where computers are way more useful and more used and more accessible is in embedded system. And for that, the most important thing is this: how do I get out of that computer into the world? So I decided to make a board which allows pupils to learn how to work I/O, input, output, in all these various formats. I designed it with a certain purpose, to really have an educational plan for first input, light and LED, then a button, then you press the button and the LED lights up. So I had a whole program of development which I thought would be useful to go through. And that's why I built all these features onto the board, saying this is what you need to get somebody from nothing to doing very complex I/O with the outside world. And although it was designed for education and meant for that part, it's been taken up by the community for all kinds of things. Just like the Raspberry Pi, which was intended for education, but it's used in the most weird places. It's gone 40 miles up. I don't know how far down it's gone yet, but just, yes. And the Gert board is the same thing. It's been used in all kinds of fields, which I couldn't think of, which is good because that's what the target is. I'm just trying to enable people, and then from that moment, it's up to them what to do with it.
Absolutely. So breaking news, the Gerduino board. Tell me more about that.
It's the follow-up of the Gert board, but then in a different format. A lot of people have been continuously comparing the Arduino and the Raspberry Pi, and there's a sort of consensus that each has its own place. The Raspberry Pi is not real-time, doesn't have much I/O, but it has a huge of CPU power, and a lot of people have been continually saying that the best would be a combination of the two. So I decided to combine the two. So it's going to be a board which plugs onto the Raspberry Pi. It's got the compatibility with the Arduino Uno, same shields, everything can plug on top of it. But the nice thing is that the Atmel chip, which is on the Arduino, can be completely programmed from the Raspberry Pi itself. You don't have to leave the environment. So you can install the Atmel development kit on the Raspberry Pi, you can edit it there, you can compile it, you can press a button, and your program goes to the Arduino and you can run it there. So where the other systems often still need a PC with a USB cable and everything is around it, it's not needed, it's completely integrated, one step does everything for you.
That is awesome. All right, Gert, so I know you're a bit of a maker on your free time, I'm guessing. Is there anything else you like to do in your free time other than make electronics?
to be honestly, because I have a daytime job and I do the Raspberry Pi in the evening hours and at the moment are helping a startup in Cambridge with some stuff as well, I don't have any spare time left at the moment. It's one of the things that if you go for this sort of thing, you have to be 100% committed and not do it halfway. And that's my attitude. So I check the GERD board forum every day and try to answer questions and help people out. And I don't have much spare time left at all anymore.
I can imagine. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Gert. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you very much for letting me come here.
Okay, so what if you win said Raspberry Pi board? Where would you go to find more information? Say, on how to build that automated chicken coop door that you've been dreaming about for ages. No, wait, that's probably just me. Well, anyway, Element 14 should be near the top of your list, or at least until my new Kickstarter campaign is launched, connectedcoop.com. That's right. Watch for it. Let's chat with Cliff Ortmeier from Newark Element 14 and get the skinny about the connected community that is Element 14. My guest today is Cliff Ortmeier, Technical Marketing Manager at Element 14. Thank you so much for joining me today, Cliff.
Thanks for having me.
So Element 14 is bridging the gap between maker and engineer. What do you see are the needs from these two camps?
Well, first, if you look at what we call a professional engineer, they typically have experience maybe in hardware design or standard MCU design, 8-bit and 32-bit, you know, C programming. One of the things that a lot of them don't have is operating system experience. So we see a lot of people saying, you know, I'm doing all these things. They really have to be the chief cook bottle washer. They have to design power supply. They have to do the programming. They have to do LCD. But one of the things that's coming, just because technology, the price of technology has come down so low, they say, you know what, I can actually use an operating system to run these things, but I have no experience in that. So we see that being a large area of interest and need for the professional engineer. For, say, systems integrators or software engineers, even hobbyists and makers, they understand the programming. They understand Linux, operating systems, everything. What they don't have access to, typically, is accelerometers, motor controllers, relay drivers, sensors, especially MEMS sensors. Those are used in everyday, all these consumer electronics devices. They don't typically have access to that just because you have a single device and a huge data sheet with tons of information that it'll take you a week to pore over to really understand it. So they're not getting access to those technologies. What we're trying to do at Newark Element 14 is really look at both camps and say, what is it that they're both looking for and how can we help develop that technology as well as the resources for them to get access to those? One of the things that we've done in speaking to our community, we've taken, for the professional engineer, we have groups that are based on certain open source applications, let's say, Arduino, Raspberry Pi, things that are they're really geared towards educating people. But again, it's professional engineers that need educations, not just students and kids. So what we're doing is we're trying to make sure that we have the environment set up to help them understand how to go about using those things, as well as, because we're listening to our customers, we know what they're actually looking for. What kind of accessories are they looking for once they get working outside of that Raspberry Pi? We're developing accessories, exclusive accessories, to help them work outside of that realm. Same thing for the hobbyist and maker segment. I know how to program a Raspberry Pi, but I can't afford a $150 sensor board. We're developing boards that people want and need, and putting those professional-type devices in an environment, in a community environment, where they can learn from other people. We have road tests, reviews, things like that that help them say, you know what, I can do this. You know, I can understand it. And they get access to from other community members to see what they're doing with them and really break down those barriers. So we're starting and looking at what the needs are from both camps, trying to make sure that we have the resources available for them, developing the technologies that they still need, and putting them all in one place where they can easily find it.
That's fantastic. So, Cliff, tell me a little bit about the open source element of Newark Element 14.
Open source, it's really the one area that is common to both the engineers and makers alike. We look at the open hardware source. Where are people looking at open source? There's numerous reasons. In internal survey results and research that we've done on the outside, it allows people to get access to things quickly and easily. It allows them to learn. Say for IP blocks, if they're having a problem with something, they don't have to disclose their proprietary code. They can go online and talk about, hey, I've got this particular problem. people say, oh, you know what, I've got a library, I've got an application already written for that, whereas they'd have to get Tier 1 support from an FAE typically. So that's one access to open source. It really opens up the assistance to them. It helps them get the help that they need quickly. Another reason is the libraries. If they want something to develop quickly, a lot of the libraries and things are already developed for them. So what we do is we try and put all that in a nice package, per se. You go to the Code Exchange on the community. It's an open source discussions about how to learn about open source hardware, how to learn about open source software. Getting the information they need all in one place is really is what we're trying to do. And open source seems to be the common bond between hardware and software enthusiasts.
I think you're right. All right, Cliff, now I know you're a nerd at heart. Is there anything you like to do outside of work?
I like to golf. I like to play with my two girls. I like to ride around on tractors. My dream's always been to have a big tractor. Yeah, I want a tractor. That's why I live up near the Wisconsin border. We like big toys.
That's true. I've got family in Wisconsin, and that's very, very true. Oh, well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today, Cliff. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, you've waited long enough. How about a little nerdy giveaway, my friends? Oh, yes, it's true. This week, courtesy of our good friends and yours at Newark Element 14, I've got the legendary Raspberry Pi Model B. That's right. The new Model B Raspberry Pi is a credit card-sized board with a Broadcom BCM2835 system on chip running Linux. And this bad boy has a newly increased SDRAM capacity of 512 megabytes, rather than the previously shipped 256-megabyte capacity. This super-packed-with-goodness mini-computer also includes an ARM 700 MHz MPU, VideoCore 4 GPU, two USB ports, an Ethernet port, and mounting holes, of course. There's also been quite a few updates from the previous Raspberry Pi to this new Model B, which you can check out by clicking the link below this week's player. So, if you want to win a Raspberry Pi board for your very own, head on over to element14.com/fishfry to enter. Or you can click on that link on this week's Fish Fry page on eejournal.com that says, enter to win a Raspberry Pi courtesy of Newark Element 14. Really, it's that simple. You should go there now. You know you want to. And if you didn't know already, you should really check out EE Journal on Facebook at Facebook/EE Journal and on Twitter at EE Journal TFM. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, I especially like pinball, just FYI. Shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com. For the week of May 10th, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.